The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharpening a two-edged sword, piercing him to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. It's a critic of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We started our studies this morning with the doctrine of the millennium. That'd be page one of your notes. All right, as the verse in Hebrews proclaims in our call to worship, it's imperative, if you're going to be a believer that serves God correctly in life, that you study first and foremost. And in that way, then your applications in life can be presented before God void of shame. Unfortunately, most believers, when they first get to see Jesus Christ, apart from those who were eyewitnesses at the first advent, at the Bema Seat reward ceremony, shame is going to be the very first experience they had in their resurrection body. That is because they were unwilling to assemble themselves together under the sound teaching of Bible doctrine and get all their ducks in a row in regards to God's plan for their life. This is a primary purpose of the local church, apart from, in addition to, evangelizing phase one otherwise, and that is to provide the information necessary for the believer priest to serve God in action with honor. And in order to know and understand God's word, as we know, it demands that we are filled with God the Holy Spirit as believers. When we engage in personal sin in life, we are out of fellowship. Filling ministry is neutralized in that capacity. We're temporarily dead before God and hence of no use to him in this condition. And in otherwise, our sin nature is in control, rulership over the real you. And in that capacity, through your brain computer, you will not perceive and understand even the truth of God's word. It demands a spiritual apparatus for perception that is God the Holy Spirit in connection with our human spirit. And in this capacity, we are able to study God's word. And the mechanics given to us when we do engage in personal sin, as we know, is a rebound technique. 1 John 1:9, in our prayer confession before God, he forgives us of our sins, he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. That is written to believers, for believers, so that they can be filled with God the Holy Spirit, and hence begin the primary mode of operation in regards to the Christian life, and that is to study his word so that at least we have opportunity to know what he wants, what he desires of us, what his directive will, what he wants us to think, say, and do is compared to his permissive will, etc., in our Christian lives, and hence do battle with our sin nature apart from being blind to the world otherwise in this capacity. So as is our custom, we will give you opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start with a normal word of prayer. Father, again, thank you for your many grace and mercies. Thank you for positive volition here in this geographical location of political Babylon. We thank you for providing the pure gold in the last days in the lukewarm era of the church otherwise, and that we do not take it for granted, but recognize it in regards to all of its importance and benefit and blessing so designed for us to apprehend it in this capacity. We ask once again this morning that God the Holy Spirit will enlighten the truth in the matters at hand. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to review the doctrine of the millennium here. Other doctrines could have been brought out in regards to the oracle to Judah. But it ends on that note, and obviously it is especially important to us today as we are in a period of history that this period, era known as the millennium, is right around the corner. When I say around the corner, I'm saying that with the rapture of the church, it's less than a decade away from that. 7 years, to be exact, from the rapture of the church. And we are in the last days of the church age dispensation. Obviously, anyone that does not believe that have no real comprehension and understanding in regards to prophecy of Scripture, and are otherwise blind to what's going on in the world and the spiritual dereliction of the church itself in regards to standing for the truth and faith of Bible doctrine in its purest of ways. So we are going to look at this in anticipation of one of these days, raising our wine glasses with one hand and a good steak in the other, and cheering ourselves on along with our Lord and Savior, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, during this extended period of history where unprecedented peace, health, environmental blessing, etc., will be experienced on this planet. That's because righteousness finally rules rather than the unrighteousness of men under their sin nature. All right, warm you up. Roman numeral 1, introduction and definition. The term millennium means 1,000 years. It's derived from the Latin mille, 1,000, and annum, a year. Accountants use annum a lot in their accounting procedures, per annum. B, biblically, it is applied specifically to the 1,000 years mentioned, as we have seen in our studies, in Revelation 20, verses 2 through 7, and it constitutes the final 1,000 years of human history. 1,000 years, as we will know and address in the doctrine, plus a few subsidiary years after the fact. Revelation 20, one of the unique characteristics of John's writings. John is the author, the Apostle John, was the author of the book of Revelation. He is also the author of the Gospel of John and the three epistles in the New Testament. His writing which sets his gospel distinct from Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which are commonly known together as the Synoptic Gospels, is that his gospel presents its information in a consistent chronological fashion, in the chronological progress regards to Christ's ministry, etc., in that regards. So the accuracy of John's writing chronologically is understood, and Revelation is presented in the same fashion. It begins with the period of the church, the present time of John. In this regards, it takes you to predominantly the majority of the book deals with the tribulational period, the 7 years following the church, finishing up the age of Israel, and goes in then to the millennial period and the eternal state in the final two chapters. In Revelation 20, we have advanced chronologically now the time of Jacob's trouble, tribulation, has concluded with the final battle of Armageddon concluding, and the millennial period, the coronation of Jesus Christ returning in his glorified state and reigning over this planet will occur. Revelation 22 through 7. Here, John and I saw, verse 1, an angel coming down from heaven. Yes, there are aliens. More and more you're seeing this whole thing of the alien presence in regards to the media and things that are coming out. The people starting to buy into aliens actually existing. And obviously, the cosmos has their whole approach to it. The Bible recognizes creatures that live out and beyond our dimension, as we would term them as aliens. And these are known as angels in the Bible. angels, angelos in the Greek, simply means messenger. Either they're a messenger of God, or they are the fallen company of angels, along with Satan being his messenger, these known as demons in this regards. And here we have an elect angel, a messenger of God. Angels are active in regards to the revelation that is given to John in this book. And here he has access to the confines of Sheol, Haiti, known as the Abyss. And he has something that is going to confine, obviously a chain used to confine or bind something in this capacity. Here's not a rope, it's a great chain, something of extreme strength and power that will be unbreakable, if you will, when it is applied in this capacity. And what he does immediately after the Battle of Armageddon, he laid hold of the dragon. The dragon here in Revelation is Satan himself, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. So the 1,000 years of unprecedented peace that comes upon this planet is because the satanic influence that is prevalent. I don't care whether you believe it or not, but it is active in the highest echelons of government throughout the world. The top leaders, there is a camaraderie among them, a united effort in regards to the whole global movement and all these things. This is all brought about through a satanic influence, through other people that effectively have impact on them, as well as some probably in and of themselves. And that is bringing out the worst of the STA in regards to those who have authority over others. That is bringing the world down to its knees as we see it today, but ultimately still has a long ways to go, or quite a ways to go before it completes its fall. But anyway, he is bound for the 1,000 years of the millennial reign. And he threw him into the abyss, verse 3. So one of the things that the Bible does point out, angels are, in a physical sense, indestructible. You can't kill an angel. Another angel can't kill another angel. One must understand the concept of death in its basic form, and that is a separation. The destruction of Satan by God is a permanent and eternal separation from God in the capacity of his very existence that is there. But angels do have power over other angels. And here we see the power of this angel over Satan himself. So the world that thinks that Satan is the greatest power there exists in the alien universe are grossly mistaken. There will be a great Star Wars midway during the tribulational period, an angelic Star Wars. And the elect angels will overcome Satan, who will be commanding his army against elect angels. And Satan will be thrown down to planet Earth. And that's when the earth better look out, because now he's confined. But right now, Satan is not in hell with a long pointed tail and horns in a grotesque fashion. As a created being, he was created the most beautiful of all the angels initially. And he is free and roaming about on the planet Earth, coordinating and overseeing his plan and strategy to try to overthrow God in the angelic conflict, utilizing the human race at his beck and call as much as possible. And he is constantly influencing people in regards to their thinking, taking advantage of negative volition, taking advantage of ignorance to the divine viewpoint of life, inserting human viewpoint to manipulate the human race. And in this way, he obviously controls the world in that capacity. But he is taken and he is bound for the 1,000 years that Jesus will rule on this planet, not have that advantage anymore during that time. And that's verse 3, and threw him into the abyss and shut it and sealed it over him. With God, nothing is impossible. God gives this angel that binds him and incarcerates him in such fashion with the capacity and power to do these things. And he gives a reason so that he should not deceive the nations any longer until the 1,000 years were completed. After these things, he must be released for a short time. So 1,000 years. So it gives you a specific time period for this era known as the millennium, 1,000 years. And as we noted, a short time after that, he'll be released for one final act of rebellion, one final attempt to try to at least fulfill one of his five I wills in the book of Isaiah. And I saw thrones, verse 4, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given to them. So, a new political environment is created in regards to planet Earth after the tribulational period, going into the millennium. Thrones looks at those who are given the highest privilege of leadership and authority over others and nations and things of this nature. And we know that those who, believers, who do it right in regards to their Christian life, and they hold in and get the prize, that this is one of the perks that they will enjoy and blessing in regards to their resurrection bodies, and they will be rulers over nations. Everyone will serve Jesus Christ in some capacity, in the cabinet or lower capacity, just like you have in regards to service to governments today, all different levels, etc. You'll have those the lowest levels, which will be probably the majority of believers, doing the menial types of service in regards to Christ ruling. Then you'll have those who otherwise have worked up the ranks through their Christian life by applying Bible doctrine otherwise in that respect. So, thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of the testimony of Jesus, and because of the word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast or his image. This is John looking at this vision. And in the tribulational period, right on our heels, there will be those who, even though that period of history after the rapture of the church removes all believers from the planet, there will be those individuals who will continue to come to saving faith in regards to their lives. And there, for many of them, their end result is many of them will be martyred during this period in time. Understand everything that's going on in regard to our societies, all these mandates using the different arms of the civil service, of businesses, merchants, things of this nature, is designed to ultimately bring the population under control. All this stuff they come up with, mandating people to do using the manufacturer crisis that they crank up. Obviously, that which has been most prevalently recently is in the medical circles. Notice how all the small hospitals are disappearing. It's all one big conglomerate. But anyway, not that there's not some around. But all that is designed to try to bring the population under control. By the time the Antichrist, just as you see today, people will see through the lies, will see through the ruse. They will rebel. They will not conform through the Antichrist. All right, if you don't conform, then we will use force. See? And people who do not comply to their mandates, many of them will be executed as political prisoners. That's what the world's got to look forward to in regards to the system that's being established today, and most obvious in regards to our country and what we're promoting through the present administration and those before them. They're not the only ones guilty. Good grief. All they're doing is the icing on the cake of people that have been behind this thing for centuries, actually. Satan wastes no time when periods of history come around and change God's plan for dispensations to start his work. Obviously, immediately within the first century in regards to the church being established. Hence, introduced Roman Catholicism through Constantine, combining religion with a civil power and political power. One world religious, political entity, and all that it has done. And over time, there have been people locked into that, just like people have over time that locked into doctrine. But there have been people locked into this system with this view and foresight given to them in regards to the ultimate conclusion to these things. And that is one world ruler who everyone will worship is known as the Antichrist. But anyway, a lot of stuff there. So thankful we got a chance to go through Revelation. That just really opens a lot of doors to seeing truly what's going on. And out of the tribulational period, there will be many martyrs. And John sees their souls. He sees their souls. And they refuse to take the mark of the beast. You don't have to sweat it at this point in time in this dispensation of taking the mark of the beast. It's not part of this dispensational reality. Whatever they may be working on to bring it into reality, well, that's aside. Obviously, with the technology of computers, computer chips, and all this other stuff, we recognize that. But the mark of the beast is reserved to be part of the instrument of the rise of the Antichrist upon the global population. In order, as earlier chapters tell us in Revelation, in order, if you want to do business, you want to be able to go to the grocery store. You want to be able to go to the doctor. You don't have the mark of the beast, then you will be refused service. You will be refused goods. But there will be people that will survive through this, believers, that make it all the way through the tribulational period. But many of them will be martyred and killed and arrested. Everything is about knowing where you are anymore. Your cell phone may not only just give you brain cancer. It's radiation. Ask anybody that knows anything about medical science. Radiation is a cancer-causing substance. But anyway, not to put the fear of God in anybody. Most of us know this stuff. So, it's all about control. They will know where people are. It will be extremely hard to run and hide, to get off grid, if you will, in this situation. But that is not the end-all be-all for them, while there are some of us, hopefully, that we not experience physical death because of the rapture. Most who have gone on before us, obviously, going back to parents and grandparents and the early church, you know, have been dead for many years. But those martyred in the tribulational period, at most, will be have been dead 7 years, and they will receive their resurrection bodies. And they had not, continue here in verse 4, so I don't get off track here too much. If you had not worshipped, let me read it again. I saw thrones, they sat upon them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded. So I guess the guillotine is coming back into use, or the sword. You know, beheading is not, is still practiced today through in governments in the Mideast. To put the fear of people, the terrorists will do that to their hostages, you know, because how people tend to squirm under seeing things like that and trying to put fear in them. But anyway, because of the testimony of Jesus, because of the Word of God, and those who have not worshipped the beast or his image. So there are going to be alternatives. You may personally worship him in practice or in person. Or you may turn to the image that's going to be set up in the tribulational temple midway into tribulation. And look at that. I mean, the abstract notion of worship here in regards to the Antichrist is purposeful, because he will give people a wide range of belief system, as long as he's the object, the main object of their belief in this regards. It's like, well, you can believe what you want, but you've got to worship the Antichrist. See, that's what I get from this. If you're willing to acknowledge him as the God of the world, and tune in and reject all other gods otherwise in that respect, then you can be part of the circle and promise of prosperity that obviously he's going to give the world. And not receive the mark upon their forehead and upon their hand, continue verse 4, and they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. So that tunes us into the timing then of all Old Testament saints, which the tribulational martyrs are part of the age of Israel that ties into the Old Testament. Daniel 70. See, you got to put all this stuff together to understand the puzzle, to see the complete picture of the puzzle that the Bible presents in regards to this. And that verse 5, the rest of the dead did not come to life until 1,000 years. Were completed. This is the first resurrection. So again, three times now, 1,000 has been highlighted and emphasized in regards to this era and period of history. And the first resurrection looks at that fact that the resurrection comes in waves. The first wave is the waves of believers, beginning with the church, and then 7 years later, following with all believers of Old Testament saints and tribulational saints. That's the first resurrection. That's how you interpret that. The second wave is the wave you don't want to be in. Blessed and holy is the one, verse 6, who has a part in the first resurrection. Over these, the second death has no power. What's the second death? That's eternal death in the lake of fire. You die physically as an unbeliever. But that's not the end of death for you. Even though you're an unbeliever, your soul is going to be reunited with a manufactured body by God himself. Unbelievers will be given a resurrection body, along with believers. John teaches this in his gospel. Jesus, through Jesus' own teaching. And in that capacity, they will then live for all eternity in the conditions of environment that God has already created and has prepared for Satan and his angels, known as the lake of fire. But they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him again for 1,000 years. See, the millennium begins some 75 days after the second advent. Just as we have seen in Genesis, there are periods of transition between the dispensational periods involved. You have the Abrahamic covenant given to them at the time of the age of the Gentiles, and there's a transition period where Abraham and the early patriarchs still function with the family priesthood under the age of Gentiles. The age of Israel did not technically start until the conquest came in and occupied land, because that was part of the promise given to them in regards to the covenant as a peoples. They got to have real estate. But obviously there's a transition period. The law was given through Moses in their wilderness wanderings. They started making application in that regards, but still the familial priesthood method of communicating, etc., was practiced. God's got somebody's horn going off. Oh, there you go. Somebody had a deal. Your clicker works better than mine. I could do it from inside the house there. All right. Let me get back here. 75 days after the second advent. So there's a transition period from when Jesus Christ returns to planet Earth, as we just studied in regards to the Oracle to Judah, where at that point in time, his initial appearance at the second advent, peace is not what he is here to offer. What he is returning for, first and foremost, is to destroy the enemies of Israel and to deal with all the unbelieving people on this planet that actually lined up, remained in unbelief, lined up with the satanic protocol of this period in history. And after the Battle of Armageddon, there's going to be a cleanup period that's got to occur. We got to make sure all the vultures, the carrion birds, have their dinners as they will flock. That would be something that during that period of time in history, if you see these types of birds starting to converge in the Middle East, and they go, well, this is unprecedented. There's millions of carrion birds over here. We've never seen that before. If you're living at that point in time, getting close. But anyway, there will be a cleansing of the temple that has to occur, the tribulational temple that was defiled by Antichrist, obviously in agreement with the Israeli government. The believers in Israel are an exception. They're called a remnant in regards to even during the tribulational period. Obviously, they have their own problems they got to deal with. All this stuff you see going on over in their country, while we recognize they're God's people. And we would never even propose anti-Semitism one way or the other in that regards. We respect those who curse you. I will curse those who bless you. We respect and apply and operate. But we recognize also how evil the certain members of the Jewish race have been in history and will be. But there are those there that are all wrapped up in this whole global internationalism. And because they rejected the Messiah, rejected that doctrine at the first advent, they are going to fall prey to the false message given to them with all the works of wonder that will be associated with Alexander the Great and the possession of Satan as the Antichrist, and will turn the temple over to him. The first half, 3.5 years of the tribulational period, if you see them starting to build the temple, we know we're getting close to rapture then. Otherwise, first 3.5 years, they're going to reconstruct the temple. I don't know what God's going to do to bring about for them to occupy the land that they need for it, whether it's where the mosque sits today. There are those who contend that that's not the actual temple site. It may be adjacent to that. Obviously, all that will work itself out in that regard. But for the first 3.5 years of the tribulational period, they will rebuild the temple. Or tabernacle would be sufficient, but I'm assuming it'll probably be the temple. And they will immediately start re-engaging in animal sacrifice. That's going to blow a lot of people's minds. And it's going to turn, obviously, with all this human viewpoint, environmentalist, green, and all these types of liberal ideologies that are being promoted today. Nations, obviously, are going to look harshly down upon Israel in regards to that. But for the first 3.5 years, they at least function under the proper protocol of temple worship and animal sacrifice. In 3.5 years, at that point in time, the Antichrist will come in and make a pact with Israel. I'll provide you with your protection from the rest of the world. That's all a ruse. And as Daniel 70th week brings out, it's a 7-year pact that never finds its conclusion. God interrupts it halfway in. But anyway, the timing of these things, God has rhythm. It's just 3.5 here, 1260 here, another 3.5, 7, you know, all these things. And anyway, the temple has to be cleansed. And then the separation of the believers from unbelievers from the believers. All that's part of this time period, 75 days on the Jewish calendar, which is 30-day lunar calendar that they operate under, 2 months and a half, basically, before the actual coronation will occur in regards to Christ setting up his throne. So the millennium begins some 75 days after the second advent, point C, and extends to the time just prior to the release of Satan. That's in its technical preview of era. Daniel 12. Final chapter of Daniel. Daniel deals with the latter days. It gives us much insight in regards to some of the major players, such as the eagle, the lion with the eagle wings, the bear, the leopard, etc. These are all major world dominant players in the last days. We know who the bear is. That's Russia. That's easy enough. It's easy enough to recognize the lion and the eagle wings that are plucked off the lion. That is none other than Great Britain and our relationship with the United States. And the plucking occurs, if you will, in two parts, politically, and then in finality. Politically, we separate ourselves in terms of government and peoples and as a nation in the revolution. The wings are going to be plucked permanently about 3 years and a month into the tribulational period. We still obviously look at England, if you will, in camaraderie and as a close ally in regard to our governments and things of this nature. We still have this familial relationship with them, if you will. But it's a weird beast, isn't it? a lion with eagle's wings, but nothing that you don't see in mythology. All the counterfeits that have come into the world in regards to doctrine. So, the leopard is the Chi Coms, the Oriental Confederation. That's China and those who align with them, the Oriental countries otherwise, North Korea, things of this nature, people of that ilk. Then there's the horrible beast. That is the revived Roman Empire under the rule of Alexander the Great. That's some cool stuff, man. Anyway, Daniel is exhorted and encouraged to hang in there. He too is going to be a part of the blessing that will come about ultimately with the return of Christ in this respect. And verse 9, he said, "Go your way, Daniel, for these words are concealed and sealed up until the end time." It's amazing that there was other information given to Daniel that he was not free to record for us. All these people that say they've been to heaven. Well, Paul went to heaven, he didn't come back and tell everybody what Jesus told him up there. He said, "No, that was for my ears, basically." All this hogwash out there that the Christian charlatans will try to throw over people if they are Christian. Understand, an unbeliever can perform religious duty and have the facade of any religion and still not really believe in the system, in the true faith. Anyway, go your way, Daniel, for these words are concealed and sealed up until the end time. Progressive revelation is going to come about again. More doctrines are going to be given to us, just like the New Testament was given after the Old Testament. Many will be purged, verse 10, purified and refined. But the wicked will act wickedly, and note and none of the wicked will understand, but those who have insight will understand. People will do what they choose to do in life. Understand that. You can't literally save people in yourself. You can't be a good enough salesman. If a person is negative, they will not buy what you are selling. Volition operates on its own free accord. It is the one complete, absolute aspect of freedom that God gives men to choose for or against Him. For whatever they want to believe otherwise. Volition is divine institution number one. All the attacks that have come down on the divine institutions has one target. That's volition, to restrain you from your freedom of choice in life. To put mandates on you. To make you pay and limit you in regards to your freedoms. That's what's going on right now in our country. And they have all their means and ways that they do this with people to limit their freedoms. By the way, if you like the mountains, etc., Smoky Mountains have always been free to people that come and visit. You can go and you can park and you can walk around. It won't be that way next year. Federal government has shipped all these trillions of dollars across the ocean to the second most corrupt country in the world, etc., among others. If you know what I'm talking about, if you keep up with with history, Ukraine. But anyway, they were rated one of the most corrupt governments in the world. And yet, our government sits there and rah-rah-rahs you to death. And people who are blind in regards to these things sit there and call you a non-patriot because you don't support the war. Well, when you're barking at a Vietnam vet, that one goes right by me. Been there, done that. No, thank you. But anyway. when you go, they're going to start charging you to park, to just park so you can go out and enjoy God's creation. You know, the land that the federal government took away from people and made it impossible for people to stay there that otherwise had all rights. You know, through the principle of eminent domain. See, I told you, people have been after this and been working on this for decades. The institution, a real estate tax. One of the principles that the Founding Fathers had was for people coming out of a regime where only the rich had real estate and owned the real estate, that people could have actually own land here and it'd be theirs. Someplace they could always call home. Once they got their real estate tax put in, you never own your property again. Not without paying Uncle Sam. See? All this stuff is leading down to the time which we are now finding ourselves more constrained. The noose is around the neck. It's getting tighter and tighter. So, anyway, some things that just, you know, ought to set off your righteous indignation to see what's going on. But that's all right, because all it's doing is bringing us closer and closer and get us the hell out of here via the rapture train. All right, back here to Daniel. We're sitting here impatiently, I am, impatiently waiting. Think about Daniel. Oh man, this is like a couple thousand years down the road. Why do I need to know this stuff for? Well, because it gives him hope, see. And the wicked are going to do the wicked thing. Negative people are going to be negative to doctrine. I don't care who is teaching. It could be Jesus himself. Well, if Jesus was here, I'd believe the Bible better. That is such a crock. Only if you're positive to doctrine will you believe. See, that's the nature of volition. People, as Jesus says in Revelation, keep doing the good or keep doing the bad. Just do one or the other. You know, the people that sit there on the fence, wishy-washy types, those fall into the lukewarm category. Either commit yourself to doctrine or go commit yourself to something else. You want to stand there and hold hands with God and hold hands with the world at the same time? Well, unfortunately, you're not going to do that. God's not going to permit that. I mean, he'll let you think he is, but he's not. Anyway, verse 11, from the time that the regular sacrifice is abolished, that's 3.5 years, into the tribulational period. See, regular sacrifice, that tells us they're going to start killing these poor little animals. The blood will be rolling down the troughs in regards to the outer court at the bronze altar. And it's got to be quite a system. Considering the bulls and all the other animals, that their carotid artery will be slit and they will bleed out right there. The little does obviously just wring their neck, but anyway. And when it's abolished, an abomination, a desolation is set up, there will be 1290 days. Well, that's a little over 3.5 years, which I'll explain to you. How blessed is he who keeps waiting and attains to the 1,335 days. That's verse 12. And the promise to Daniel, but as for you, verse 13, go your way to the end, then you will enter to rest and rise again for your allotted portion at the end of the age. Promise of resurrection for Daniel. So the 1,290 days mentioned in verse 11. 3.5 years is 1,260 days. So you got another 30 days added on here.
So there's a 30-day delay before the abomination of desolation is removed for the temple to be cleansed. And all the imaging and all the other blasphemy that occurs in regards to the temple. And that correlates with a time and period of mourning that will be associated with the Jewish race, the nation of Jews that survived this, as they recognize what they did. We killed our, we not only killed our Messiah, we embraced the Antichrist as a nation. So then you go up to 1335 days. That's another 45 days now. You can do the math on your own. I've got to figure it out. I wrote it down in my Bible because otherwise I wouldn't be able to tell you this. After 1290 days, and it's that period of time where Christ then is officially inaugurated and the millennium inheritance begins at that capacity. So you can compare Zechariah 12, 9 through 14 and Zechariah 13, 2 in regards to the temple cleansing and mourning by the Jews. And then Matthew 25, looks like here 34, for the inauguration process, to be inaugurated in office. It's not, you can picture it, our president is nominated and elected in November, but they don't become inaugurated until February. So there's a period of time in between. And then Revelation 27 that we read earlier in regards to Satan being released from the abyss. All right. Well, I got us a long ways down. First hour, let's see what we do. Second hour, take our break.